This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, and I'm T. Shawik. We're in the second week of our brand new show, which happens every weekday at 2 p.m. On this show, we examine local and international news with a bigger picture feel of things. So you can expect anything from the arts and culture to science, health, and the environment to give you something to think about as you get through the afternoon. Joining me today are Tina Carmelia and Sharmila Ganesan. And today we're looking at two stories, starting with the scientific journal Nature, which is turning 150 this year. So we'll take a peek at its legacy and what it means to publish your research in a top-tier journal.
And according to The Guardian, record numbers have signed up for Veganuary, and we'll try living on a plant-based diet at least for a few weeks.
We also have a Twitter poll going on. Have you tried a plant-based diet? Let us know. Share with us your experience of trying to go vegan if you have. By WhatsApping us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio.
On that note, here's All the World is Green by Tom Waits.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was All the World is Green by Tom Waits. If you just joined us, you are listening to The Daily Digest, our new show at 2 p.m. every weekday.
We currently have a Twitter poll going on. Have you tried a plant-based diet? Share with us your experience at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us your experiences on trying to go vegan at 018-789-8899.
And now we take a look at our first story, which is that the scientific journal Nature is turning 150 years old this year. It was founded in 1869 in Britain. And Nature is today the leading weekly international scientific journal. And under the Nature Research Group, there are actually 147 journals published, which includes the Nature Research Journals, Nature Reviews, plus a whole range of prestigious academic journals, including society-owned publications.
Yeah, and Nature has witnessed major historical scientific milestones like the discovery of the electron, the first X-ray, the structure of DNA, and the discovery of a hole in the ozone layer, among many others. Nature wasn't the first and isn't the oldest scientific journal, but it has developed a strong legacy in academic publishing. And today, Nature is known for its original research as well as its news journalism and a commentary on broader political and societal issues.
For scientists, the pursuit of getting their research published often dominates their career. The publish-or-perish principle means that the more you are published, the higher your scientific standing.
Yeah, so we speak to Professor Dr. Yvonne Lim Ailien. She's the Director of International Relations Office with the University of Malaya about what it means to be published in a top-tier journal. Now, just to note, Prof. Yvonne was formerly, quite recently, the Deputy Dean of Research with the Faculty of Medicine in UM, and she has been published with Science, which is another top-tier journal. Prof. Yvonne, do you remember how it felt when your paper was accepted by the journal?
I remember that that day was such an exciting and fantastic day. Certainly it was it's a dream of most researchers to ultimately have his or her work recognized in top-tier journals like Nature, Science, and a few others. So what makes it significant is knowing ultimately that your work has gone through such a vigorous and meticulous process of reviewing by top-notch scientists. But what is more important was the whole journey. I had a steep learning curve going through this whole experience. But it makes me a better scientist. For me, I found that I became sharper and more agile in my thought process, in delivering my discussion and arguments. And it certainly improves my critical thinking process. Even if that paper was not accepted, I felt that I would have still benefited from the whole process. On hindsight, going through it, you need lots of guts, persistence, and steadfastness, because you know your ideas and your data basically will be knocked down, will be broken into pieces, but they will be refined till it is worth the jam. That is how vigorous it was.
But there is a darker side to academic publishing, and Nature is no stranger to some of these controversies. Scientists like Randy Shackman, who was the winner of the 2013 Nobel Prize for Medicine, have called out these so-called luxury journals for promoting professional prestige at the expense of high-quality science.
Yeah, one of the major criticisms of the publish-or-perish culture is the unrealistic need to be published in a journal with a high impact factor. Mm. Shackman calls this metric a marketing gimmick, criticizing it because it doesn't always point to good science. A paper can be highly cited if it's provocative.
Yeah, and not just necessarily because it is based on good quality research, right? And
indeed.
Shackman was very critical in his article in The Guardian about this. But first, Prof. Yvonne helps us to understand what is the impact factor of a journal and how scientists should balance this criteria with the other measures of a journal's quality.
Journal impact factor is a measurement that reflects the yearly average citations on the articles or recent articles that are published in that journal. So it's a reflection of relative importance of that journal versus the other journals within a certain field. So the higher impact factor the journal has, it's better. However, over the years, impact factor has actually generated a lot of controversies in the scientific community, especially when journals are using this metric as a medium to promote their journal. And in some instances, publications in journals with high impact factors are used as important criteria for career promotion. To me, an impact factor is just a guide. It is not a perfect measurement, but it provides some form of comparison. So the choice of journal that to where I send my articles to will not depend solely on these metrics. There are other factors to consider, such as who my target audience be, who are the key stakeholders, is the journal a reputable journal amongst the scientific profession, does it have a vigorous reviewing process? So what I'm saying is that impact factor should not be the sole measurement, because there are some good journals that does not have high impact factor, but within the scientific circle, we know that these journals are good and reputable.
Randy Shackman has criticized these journals for promoting sexy science over quality research. What are your thoughts on this, and how do we strike a balance?
It depends on your definition of sexy science. Do you mean that research that is substandard, without sound research questions? Or do you mean research work which are up to date, the in thing now? Or do you mean to ask about applied research versus pure research? Or sexier in the way research is presented? Now, pure research is carried out to improve scientific theories. So it usually do not generate findings that have immediate applications in a practical level. Whereas for applied research, it refers to scientific study that seeks to solve practical problems that will affect our life, our health, our work and well-being. So in recent years, there are more emphases on applied research, as the investment in research, be it pure or applied, the investment in research is really huge. So usually funders of research would like to see immediate impact on society, and it's easier in applied research. Now, be it applied or pure research, well-established journals do not compromise on quality. In fact, these well-established journals have processes that ensure only high-quality articles are being published. Now, over the years, some of the progressive and well-established journals have begun to make the delivery of information or the presentation of data more attractive to the common masses, for the general audience. So the idea of such articles is to get more people connected to scientific research outcome, to make the information and knowledge accessible and better understood, so that we can have a greater impact on the society.
That was Prof. Dr. Yvonne Lim, Director of International Relations Office, University of Malaya. She made some valid points about ensuring that research should be relatable and accessible to the public. Now, apart from academic research, however, Nature has been embroiled in some controversies of its own making. Do you remember in 2017 what happened with some historical monuments in the US that were vandalized because of their connections to racism?
Yeah, I mean, this came to light when the attacks on the statue of Dr. J. Marion Sims. You know, he's known as the father of modern gynecology. And between 1845 to 1849, however, Sims basically performed his medical experiments on enslaved African-American women without anesthesia. Mm. Over decades, there have been debates among modern critics about whether his actions were acceptable for his time or whether his achievements have been wrongly lauded, as they were based basically on the exploitation of these African-American women.
Yeah, I remember doing a Health News Digest on that when the news came out with Lichui Lin. So after Sims' statue in Central Park, New York, was vandalized with the word racist, Nature published a staff editorial that argued against removing statues of historical figures as it risks whitewashing history. They argued, in effect, that public monuments of people with questionable records on human rights should be left in place, lest the country lose sight of the lessons they offered. As a remedy, the journal proposed installing plaques noting the controversy or erecting statues of equal size dedicated to the victims.
Let's memorialize their pain, shall we?
Yeah. How many victims would be, right? You know, because I'm sure there are many women, many unknown women who have suffered at the hands of these, what was judged then as advancing science.
Right. Yeah, it's not new, right? Like there are so many stories like this of disempowered people who disempowered and as history has remembered it, nameless people who actually contributed to these causes. But it's actually the researchers whose names is remembered often for acts that today would be viewed as a huge violation of human rights.
Yeah. But after a wave of outrage online, much of it from the scientific community, Nature revised parts of its editorial and apologized for the offensive and poorly worded article. It also changed the title to read, Science Must Acknowledge Its Past Mistakes and Crimes.
Yeah. So among some of the feedback that came into Nature, there were some scientists who actually called for stronger review of editorial pieces like Nature's so that it's more inclusive of diverse viewpoints, especially people of coloured backgrounds.
Right.
Because a staff editorial reads as if it is the stand of the entire organisation, but is it truly accepting of all the viewpoints?
Right.
I mean, I don't know, though. The argument is that these scientists did contribute to the discovery, the invention of practices that today have saved many lives. But still, does it make it right? Should we continue to have monuments of them?
In general, I know it sounds iconoclastic, but in general, I don't believe in monuments, statues, iconography of any form. Like, I don't like to idealize.
And I think the problem often with these monuments is that, I mean, on paper, actually, Nature's suggestion, which is to have a plaque explaining, isn't the worst thing in the world. I know that, for instance, with in America with the Civil War, there's been similar suggestions made with statues of Confederate soldiers, for instance. However, I think the issue here is that are people going to pay attention to the explanation, to the plaque.
It's like the fine print.
Do people read it? Is there enough context? So there are lots of really difficult questions. And also, what does it feel like if you are an African-American woman visiting this site and you see this man revered, knowing that those who came before you were exploited? What does that feel like, you know?
Yeah. And the other thing is also to remember that science is built on the work of many, not just the achievements of one.
Right.
Right? I mean, we learn from the lessons of Watson and Crick, Crick, who explained the structure of DNA. But actually, there was a very important woman who was not named in the recognition of their work. You know, so and she's a woman. So you know, I think the statue of Sims has since been removed from Central Park. But you know, Nature's editorial remains out there. It's in its archives for eternity, and so does its stand on such an important social issue. So, well, I don't know. I think we should use this 150th anniversary of the journal to ask the scientific community hard questions about the way it conducts itself and to hold science accountable to the people it's meant to serve.
Absolutely.
Well, to lead us out of this story, here's Quantum Theory by Jarvis Cocker.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.